Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. When Governor John Kasich announced that he would break with tradition and deliver his State of the State speech from the city of Steubenville, 150 miles east of Columbus, you might have wondered why Steubenville. Of course, from my point of view, it was an academic question. We've invited two people from Steubenville to join the show today for a few minutes. First, Joe Nocera. He's the principal of Wells Academy. It's the state's top-ranked public elementary school and in the auditorium it shares with the local high school, the site of And in the auditorium, which it shares with the local high school, is where the governor will make his State of the State address today. Welcome to the show, Joe Nocera.
Thank you. Thanks for having us in.
Also with us is Jerry Barola. He's a small business owner and local historian. Jerry was born in Steubenville, attended Steubenville High School, taught school there for 4 years, and then joined his father's business there in 1967. He's the president of historic Fort Steuben, the namesake for the city. He also serves on the board of the Jefferson County Public Library System and is president of the Steubenville Revitalization Group. Welcome to the show, Jerry.
Thank you, Ann. I appreciate that.
His Tuesday speech is at Wells Academy. It's a school that you lead, Joe Nocera. It's a top-ranked elementary school. Given that the governor is traveling all the way there today, he may spend a good day, part of his speech on education, and any hopes for what you might hear?
Well, we certainly hope that that we hear that there's going to be support for it, public education, continued support, and that he realizes the amount of money it takes to run the schools and to keep the schools funded properly. We hope to hear a little bit about that.
It's been said that perhaps Wells Academy is an example of a school that can run on very little and still be very, very successful. Any concerns about that?
Well, no, I don't have any concerns about that. It's very true that we have been successful, and our central office runs a very tight financial ship here. We're able to use our resources to the best of our abilities. And no, I don't have any particular concerns about that statement.
He was expected to propose a new school funding formula last year. Lots of people hope he'll get to it this year. Any thoughts about that?
Yes, the revised school funding is vital to what needs to happen in our future, obviously, depending upon local property taxes is becoming problematic in a lot of communities. And school like Steubenville City Schools, we're highly dependent on state and federal funding. So we certainly have an interest there.
Before this, I didn't know where the state's top functioning, most successful elementary school was. That's got to be pretty exciting to finally get some statewide recognition for something you've been working so hard on.
Well, it certainly is. And I just, to clarify that, our goal was never to be the best school or the highest ranked school in the state. Our goal has always been to educate our students to the best of our ability to prepare them for their futures. But we're certainly very pleased that we ended up in that top slot.
My guest today, Jerry Barola, he's a small business owner and local historian. We're going to talk to him in just a sec. I've been talking with Joe Nocera. He's the principal of Wells Academy. That's where the governor will give his State of the State speech today. If you have any questions or comments for Joe or Jerry, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Jerry Barola, we've heard folks say that a place like Wells Academy and its success is just a reflection of the values that are embraced by Steubenville despite its economic struggles over the past couple decades.
That's very true. We have a very close family-orientated community made up of many ethnic backgrounds. And even though the economy has been on the downswing here for many years, the drive to continue to strive and move forward through education is still paramount here, and that's the great achievement of Wells Academy, is that it can be done, even though we might be economically depressed at the moment. That doesn't deter the value and the importance of education.
It's 150 miles east of Columbus. Steubenville, it's on a river. Maybe that's something they do have in common, but it couldn't have a more different history than the capital city. It's blue-collar, steel-coated. It's been struggling, as we've mentioned before, economically for years. What do you hope to hear from the governor today in terms of your region?
Well, I'm so pleased that the governor is here and the state representatives and state senators are here today. We had a little reception for them that came in last evening at the at our historic fort, and the first time in Steubenville. It to me shows a light on this part of the state that maybe most have not been here and seen, and I think that's so important to help us in the future to be recognized by the state of Ohio that we are here and that we do have an important role to play in Ohio's history and life, and maybe through this exposure that the possibility of more employment in our local area. We have a great workforce here. We've always been built on, as you mentioned, blue-collar, mm-hmm. solid workers, commitment, family values, and that's what we have to offer to bring to the table, and I hope that we can revitalize ourselves through new employment opportunities.
You're the president of Historic Fort Steuben. It's the namesake for Steubenville. Tell us about Fort Steuben. Who is it named for, and what was it for?
Well, our fort that we have here was some 225 years ago. It was a frontier federal fort right after the American Revolution. It was established on the west bank of the Ohio River to protect a team of surveyors that were going to survey what became known as Ohio. It was going to cut all this territory in sections called townships, so that they could generate money to fund the new United States of America, pay its debts, and also to reward its soldiers in the Revolutionary War. It received its namesake from a man from Europe called Baron von Steuben. He was very instrumental in George Washington's victory against the British, especially at Valley Forge. He was a man who drilled his Washington's troops, got them in shape, discipline, morale builder, and because of his efforts, America became a fighting force against the British at the time. And in fact, this man also was the reason we have West Point Military Academy today. And up until probably maybe 20 years at the most, they were still using his what was referred to as Blue Book Drill Manual. So we're named after him. He was never here in Steubenville, but the commander, Hamtramck, that was at this fort, served under Washington and Baron von Steuben and had such high regard for Baron von Steuben, requested permission to call this first fort in Ohio after his superior officer, Baron von Steuben. Thus, we become Steubenville, Ohio.
Jerry, you're president of the, I want to say Steubenville.
Steubenville, that's true.
Revitalization Group. It's working on the downtown there. I've been to the downtown. I've marveled at the array of period architecture. Is it still that way? I haven't been there in a few years. Tell us about the downtown, because when I look at old pictures from the turn of the century, it seemed to look a lot the same way today.
It certainly is. I have a retail store in downtown Steubenville. We've been here now 55 years. The building that I'm in is about 110 years old. Most all the buildings in the core of downtown are of that vintage. We have probably in a downtown area something like 18 to 20 churches of all different backgrounds, and it is their historic churches built back at the beginning of the century, and the 19th century. It is just beautiful and remarkable of the vintage. We have one of the first Carnegie libraries in downtown that Mr. Carnegie actually worked in Steubenville, and this was one of the cities that he first put in a library system for us here. And so we're trying to, as most towns happened in America, people moved out of the core towns to the suburbs and bigger lots and what have you, and downtown's kind of lost its input. But we're historic. We're the county seat of Jefferson County. We have an obligation and a duty to maintain our downtown in a clean, respectful, rejuvenated way, and that's what we're striving to do.
So, what other Joe Nocera? Tell us a little bit about what's going to go on there today and how it's going to work.
Well, of course, we have the governor's staff have been arriving all morning. The excitement's been building. The governor will have his speech starting at 1 p.m. today. and the doors are going to open around 12 o'clock to have the General Assembly will be admitted, and the general ticket holders will come in and so forth. But right now, we just have a lot of people arriving and getting ready for the event.
Children, lots of students going to be there or not?
We have about 52 high school honors students are going to go into the assembly. And I had mentioned earlier, we have an escort of four of our Wells Academy students and four of our Wells Academy teachers who are, in fact, going to escort the governor to the stage.
How did they get picked for that?
Well, the students were picked based on their academic standards within the academy.
How big of a deal is this, Jerry Barilla, that the governor's coming here today? There's been a little, he's taken a little flack over it. Some lawmakers were kind of irritated. They can't get any work done today. And, you know, most statewide officials, elected executive officials aren't coming because they say they can't afford the time off.
Well, you know, I think this is a historic moment, and I really am pleased to see this happen, because maybe this should be something that could be done each year, that the state legislatures move to a different location to spotlight a particular area in our state that maybe they've never been to and not really aware of. What's going on. And to me, it's like a hands-on. It's like a learning process through actually seeing, being there, touching it, smelling it. And so I'm just thrilled about it. And as I said, these people can take a look and see maybe a section of where the economy has not picked up as it may have in Columbus or Cleveland or Cincinnati. But over here, you know, the struggle continues. And this, to me, is a great advantage to have eyes focused on Steubenville, as well as the media having a look at us.
Okay, well, Joan Osiro, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thanks for having me.
And Jerry Barilla, thanks again for joining us. We appreciate it.
Okay, and it was a pleasure. Thank you.
Joan Osiro, he's the principal of Wells Academy, Ohio's top-ranked public elementary school. It's where the location of the State of the State address today by Ohio Governor John Kasich, and also Jerry Barilla. He's a small business owner in Steubenville and also a local historian. Coming up, we'll be hearing from a seasoned State House observer, Lee Leonard, Columbus Dispatch columnist for many years. And then after that, we will be joined by the former governor, Bob Taft. So stay with us. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
This is 89.7 NPR News. Ohio Governor John Kasich will lay out his plans for 2012 as he takes his State of the State address on the road to Steubenville. And as we've been talking about, you can listen live to coverage of the speech this afternoon beginning at 1, right here on 89.7 NPR News.
Support for 89.7 comes from Catco, presenting The Rubenstein Kiss with the Gallery Players, a Cold War-era tale of a family seeking justice after being punished for an act of espionage, February 1st through the 19th at the Rife Center. Tickets and details at catco.org.
Be sure to join All Sides with Ann Fisher for a special live broadcast on location at WOSU at COSI. We'll be discussing the future of Franklinton and Columbus's bicentennial. Be a part of the studio audience on Tuesday, February 14th from 10 until noon. And it's 33 degrees with cloudy skies. Expect a high right around 40 today. There's a chance of snow showers for tonight, less than half an inch of accumulation, a low of 29 degrees. And another dusting of snow Wednesday morning, and a high of 35. All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News.
At 1 p.m., Governor John Kasich will deliver his second State of the State address, and in a historic departure from precedent, Ohioans will be tuned into a broadcast from outside the Ohio State House in Columbus. Coming up, we'll hear from a former Ohio governor, Bob Taft, about the importance of the State of the State from his perspective. Joining us now to talk about the conventional wisdom of breaking with precedent on the venue and other issues of note regarding a State of the State address is retired veteran State House reporter and Columbus Dispatch columnist Lee Leonard. Welcome back, Lee.
Thanks, Ann. It's good to be here.
Also with us by phone from Akron, John Green. He's director of the Ray C. Bliss Institute of Applied Politics at the University of Akron. He is a co-author of Buckeye Battleground, Ohio, Campaigns and Elections in the 21st Century. Welcome to the show, John Green.
Oh, it's great to be with you.
Question for our listeners. Does the venue matter when it comes to the State of the State address? Do you care? Give us a call, 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. You can also go to the All Sides with Ann Fisher Facebook page and post your question or comment there. We just finished hearing about historic Steubenville. Last month, the governor told reporters at the State House that, if this works, I'm not sure I'll ever do a State of the State from this building again. Of course, he was speaking from the State House at the time. So what does it mean to have it work, first of all? John Green, when does the State of the State address work or not?
Well, that's a really interesting question because there are a number of different audiences for the State of the State address. Historically, the primary audience has been members of the legislature, members of the political community in Columbus, and other state officials. And having the State of a State address in the State House works very well for that lobby, for that audience. But there's another audience, which is the broader audience of the public and politically interested individuals around the state. From the point of view of the traditional audience, moving this to a new site is probably not such a good thing. But from the point of view of reaching out to the public and allowing the governor, whoever the governor may be, to have a different venue for expressing his ideas could be much more effective. So it may very well be that what Governor Kasich means by working is that it will maybe work for that larger audience of the public.
Yeah, Lee Leonard, as far as when a State of the State address works or not, this is a whole new twist on it that wouldn't even have been, part of the discussion before. But beyond that, let's say it was the traditional in the State House thing and the issue of moving the venue wasn't an issue. Is there a point at which a State of the State address works, or is it just a matter of does no damage?
I think it does no damage. It's an opportunity for the governor to assess what's happened in his tenure and then to maybe propose some things and tell what's going well. And I've been reading that the governor is going to have maybe a few surprises about what he proposes. The thing about the State of the State is you listen to the State of the State and then you get reaction, and it's always the same. The governor's supporters will praise the speech, and the detractors, the opposite political party, will find things that were not good about it, and they'll use that opportunity to trumpet their own views. So I'm not sure much really gets accomplished at the State of the State.
What do you say, John Green? Is it a matter of just do no damage and get, make some points?
Well, I think the first and most important thing is to do no damage. And, if you think about these kinds of speeches, not just here in Ohio, but at the national level and around the country, it's entirely possible for an executive to make a big mistake, to say something in one of these speeches that creates undue controversy. So I think that, the first do no damage is a very important thing. But to the extent that these speeches have an impact, I think it's with the governor being able to lay out his agenda. This is one place where, he's the focus of attention and he can put out his program. And I don't know that determines whether his program will be passed or not, but it certainly provides an opportunity for him to get his agenda out all in one piece, if that's what he chooses to do. And a number of governors in Ohio history have chosen to do that. They've had very policy-oriented State of the State speeches. Others have maybe been less policy-oriented and more talking about accomplishments and the situation in Ohio.
Lee?
I remember one year when James A. Rhodes, the longtime Republican governor, took the opportunity to castigate the legislators for failing to approve his jobs initiatives. And the classic phrase was, he stood right up and looked them in the eye and said, "You have done nothing." And they were furious. And the next time that the state of the state came around, they refused to give him access to the House chamber. Well, Rhodes was not about to be one-upped on that, so he just took it out into the rotunda, and the corridors and the stairways were jammed with people, and the cheers resounded and bounced off that limestone wall, and so he made a bigger impact by them having kicked him out of the chamber than he would have by being in there.
You know, when I was fishing for background information on the state of the state this time, I actually found articles, AP articles to be sure, but in any event, published in other newspapers outside of the state of Ohio on the fact that he had moved the state of the state address. John Green, a little national publicity never hurt anybody, right?
No, it never did, particularly if you come from an important battleground state like Ohio, mm-hmm. where, you know, the political leaders have not only sometimes personal ambitions for higher office, but also want to make sure that their state and their agenda attracts national attention.
Now, we know, Lee Leonard, that pretty much all the State House reporters, if not every single one of them, is going to Steubenville today, because I tried to get some of them to be on the show. I couldn't. But anecdotally, I've also heard that editorial writers, many of them are not going. And I was an editorial writer for a while. In fact, you know, my first State of the State address I covered as an editorial writer was Bob Taft. It would happen. Does that matter in the big picture if people like that aren't at the State of the State?
Well, in this technological age, I'm not sure that it does, but I agree with you that the editorial writers would sit up in the gallery and watch.
Along with a few publishers here and there.
Oh, yeah. And now they're going to have to get it. They can get it. They can probably get it on their iPad.
But there's something, John Green, isn't there, to be said for being in the mix and kind of rubbing elbows and hearing the chit-chat and that sort of thing? It's an event.
Yeah, it is very much an event. And that goes back to your initial question about, you know, whether events work as events. And there is a lot to be said for the rubbing of shoulders and the mingling of you know, the key political players in Ohio, whether they're in the media or in the legislature or in the political parties or whatnot. There's a lot to be said for that. And an awful lot of politics, as Lee would know a lot better than I, is what goes on in the cloakrooms and the hallways and, you know, the conversations before and after a big speech like this. And so it'll be really interesting to see, now that we're going to another venue, what happens to that kind of social environment of the event. You know, it's novel, so it will attract attention this time, but we'll have to see what it might foretell for the future.
One of the things that the proponents of moving it have given as a good reason is that these legislators aren't that experienced, except maybe in their own areas, and so it's good for them to get into another area and see how the other half lives. And a former legislator was pontificating on that point, and he said, "And those folks over there might take these legislators and let them stay with them and see how, well, they're not going to go into their houses and eat meals with them. They're going to be out and around." So that was a little over the top. But I do agree that they need to see life in a different region of the state.
That was also a philosophy of Governor Celeste when he had his Capital for a Day programs, and he would sort of take the show on the road. And one of the things that would be included in that day often was the Ohio Supreme Court, at least for some point, at some point in time during those visits around the state. The Ohio Supreme Court is not going today, nor are most of the statewide office holders, and that's a big departure.
You know, it certainly is. It is a very big departure. And, you know, it's hard to tell how much of that's just logistics.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these are very busy people.
Right.
And it's a lot easier to go across the street or down the block to the State House than it is to travel to another part of the state. But, you know, there may be a little bit of irritation there this change has occurred.
Well, I think that, yes, traditionally the state office holders sit down in front and they either applaud or refrain from applauding depending on whether their governor is there
their
politically
party,
or not.
Right. Mm-hmm.
As far as the justices go, they're there in their robes, but they ought to be concentrating on the law anyway, and not this. In Columbus, when it's at the State House, it's just a ceremonial production, and the players are there, and they're all in their proper places. Maybe it's just as well to have it somewhere else where form is not so important, but what is said is important.
My guests are Lee Leonard, retired veteran State House reporter and Columbus Dispatch columnist. He's the author of A Columnist's View of Capitol Square, Ohio Politics and Government, 1969 to 2005. And also John Green, he's director of the Ray C. Bliss Institute of Applied Politics at the University of Akron. If you have a question or comment for them, 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. We have an email from Cynthia. She says, Dean Martin hails from Steubenville. When I was there years ago and there was a wonderful, although somewhat shabby factory I toured where they make the moving and animated people animals for the department store windows for the holidays. Don't know if they are still in business. It's about time the governor recognizes another wonderful part of the state. It is beautiful countryside, and it is good our representatives are getting out of Columbus to see how the rest of the state lives. So there you go. Another reason I heard, and again, this is just anecdotal, is it, that maybe some editorial writers aren't going to venture to Steubenville, and that some people are staying back, is the way that Governor Kasich delivers his speech. He was bragging yesterday. I heard him on the radio about the fact that he doesn't use any kind of teleprompter. He does not really write his speeches out at all. He just uses note cards, and it's a very off-the-cuff delivery. And beyond that, there's no preview for the media. Very different. Usually there's something that comes out beforehand that you can sort of follow along. John Green, that off-the-cuff, unprepared nature of his speech giving, is that, does that matter in the big picture?
I think from the point of view of the audience in Columbus, the traditional audience, that's not maybe the most helpful way to go. If the point of the speech is in part to lay out the governor's agenda, then having it previewed and having a well-written speech that touches all the key points is probably much more useful. But for the broader public audience, it may be that the off-the-cuff speaking style is more conducive. Ordinary people may find this more interesting to listen to, although it may be, Lee can talk about this, may be harder to figure out what the gist of the story is. I think one of the dangers, though, of the off-the-cuff speaking style, whether it's Governor Kasich or anybody else in politics, is that it can violate the first rule we talked about, which you can do some harm by misspeaking and saying maybe what you didn't want to say.
I agree with that. But I wanted to say something about the preview. I don't ever remember getting little snippets of it beforehand, but I do remember our press room where we all had our desks and did our work was only about 50 feet away from the House chamber. And on the evening before the State of the State, the governors would come up and test the sound system, and they would be giving part of their speech. Well, they accidentally left the mic on, and we had speakers in the press room, so we knew when they were in and out of session. And so we would listen, and I don't ever remember us getting a tremendous scoop, but we could get some tidbits.
So it was pretty typical. You might not get something prepared, but usually there was things that would be leaked out here and there in the days
before.
Yeah,
what they wanted you to know.
Right, absolutely. Of course. He speaks what comes to mind rather than for prepared remarks. Sometimes one of the things you do have to wait for after Governor Kasich speaks are transcriptions, because there is nothing prepared, literally. So it's not like they can hand out something afterward and say he just departed from this, but this is kind of an outline of the major points he was making.
Well, you make a good point, because we did get a transcript of the prepared speech that we could take in with us to look at and mark up. And with Rhodes, you had to be on the alert, because he would depart from that text.
I was going to ask.
And you'd be scribbling in in the blanks of the paper his actual quotes. And that's what happened the day that he said, "You have done nothing." That wasn't in the prepared text. He just got carried away and belted him right there.
I would imagine that Jim Rhodes was the closest thing to John Kasich in terms of delivery and that sort of thing that you can remember.
Yes, although he did stick pretty much to the text most of the time.
He had a text.
Yeah, he did.
Okay. Barbara in Lancaster, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Barbara.
Hello. My main concern is how much all this is costing. The way I understand it, the legislature are driving in their own cars, and, you know, so that's they're paying the gas.
Mm-hmm.
And we have so many places in Columbus that would be, you know, a good place for them to go where they could handle large numbers of people. And I thought it was interesting that they brought up the thing about the justices coming just out of maybe a formality rather than to, you know, be apprised of anything wonderful. But I just wonder, I mean, they keep telling us to recycle and cut back and everything, but if the state isn't doing it themselves, it's kind of a poor example.
The lady makes a good point. Maybe future states of the state, why don't they just put them on Facebook and everybody can participate?
I'm not sure that's what Barbara meant, but, you know, the Ohio Supreme Court is not going. And I think only one statewide office holder, David Yost, the Attorney General David Yost, is going among the statewide office holders. So,
auditor.
I'm sorry, auditor. Wow. He wanted to be Attorney General. He is auditor. That's right. Barbara, thanks for your call.
You're welcome.
Thanks. Paul in Grove City, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Paul.
Thanks for taking the call. Let it be known that Kasich is just about Kasich. And he's got his tail between his legs after losing this past election on the union issue.
The Senate Bill 5 issue?
Yes. And he's out there trying to get face time. And he's got everybody talking about it. Would it be talked about this much if it was in the rotunda? I don't know.
Well, that's
Rhodes was for Ohio. Yes, he might have been off the cuff, but he was for Ohio. Kasich is for Kasich, and Kasich is to go back to Washington, is his idea.
Okay.
The previous caller talking about the legislatures and their gas, let it be known, they're all going to be back here tomorrow filling out an expense report for mileage.
I don't think so. I don't think they're allowed to do that, and they're not going to do it. But I think they're taking it from their campaign funds to pay for it.
Well, then again, it's not anything that they're bending over backwards. Mm-hmm. They're getting reimbursed, and they're paid well anyway.
Okay.
So he's all about himself. He's getting plenty of PR right now, and he'll get it afterwards, marching into a strong union part of the state. And, that's what it's all about. Okay. Not about this having people stay in their house and eat food with them, and that isn't going to happen. They're going to breeze in, breeze out.
Okay. All right, Paul.
Hey, thank you.
Thanks. You know, John Green, you mentioned it's a great way to get publicity.
Yeah, and I think as the caller pointed out, it has done that up to this point. You know, not all the publicity has been positive, but one of the things you have to do when you're a governor of either party is to make sure that you're visible. And, you know, Governor Kasich has been a very policy-oriented governor. Whether one agrees with his policies or not, he's made a real effort through the budget and by other means to change policies. Some of those policies have been received well. Some of them have been very controversial. And from that point of view, this extra attention in being in a different locale does give him an opportunity to highlight some of his policy changes and maybe some new ones that he wants to try to do this year.
The Ohio Republican Party just issued a blow to the governor, spurning his attempts to unseat party chairman Kevin DeWine. That's insider baseball by any measure, but to what extent might that dynamic be underscored by the fact that all but one statewide office holder, auditor David Yost, is joining him in Steubenville today? Lee?
I wonder if Republican State Chairman Kevin DeWine is going to the Steubenville to hear the state of the state.
I don't know, and I'm not making any wild guesses.
Ask me the question again.
Extent might that dynamic be at play today, that he's taking it out of the city, you know, out of the state capitol because it's just not the most friendly place in the world right now?
No, I think that he's wanting to make an impact over in Steubenville. And who knows, maybe this is when the surprise announcement comes while he's over there, something good about what's going to happen that he's got in mind.
There are surprises. John Green, thanks for joining us today.
You're very welcome.
John Green, he's director of the Ray C. Bliss Institute of Applied Politics at the University of Akron. And also, Lee Leonard, you're going to come back with us when we return with Governor Bob Taft, former Governor Bob Taft. So we'll be right back. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
WOSU Public Media will host Chefs in the City Thursday, May 3rd from 5:30 until 10 p.m. at WOSU at COSI. Tickets are on sale now. Celebrity chef Hubert Keller and several of Central Ohio's finest chefs will participate in live cooking demonstrations, preparing dishes for audience members to enjoy. The event will also feature a cookbook signing, a silent auction, and will be taped for TV. A limited number of tickets are on sale now. Visit wosu.org/chefs for more information.
This is 89.7 NPR News. In 20 minutes at 11 o'clock, Tech Tuesday begins with a discussion of social media, consumerism, and gadgetry. Stay with us for Tech Tuesday at 11 o'clock. 33 degrees and cloudy skies in downtown Columbus, a high right around 40 today. There's a chance of snow for tonight, less than half an inch of accumulation, a low of 29 degrees. Expect another dusting of snow Wednesday morning, clouds in the afternoon, and a high of 35.
Support for 89.7 comes from Ohio State's College of Arts and Sciences, presenting the Ruby Elsie story at the Lincoln Theater on Saturday, February 11th. School of Music students perform selections from the trailblazing soprano's career. Music.osu.edu.
All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News.
We are talking about the state of the state today. The governor is set to begin his second state of the state address at 1 p.m. in Steubenville. You can hear that on WOSU 89.7 NPR News. Still with us is retired veteran statehouse reporter and columnist, first for the UPI and then the Columbus Dispatch, Lee Leonard. Welcome again, Lee.
Thanks, Ann.
Also joining us now is Ohio's 67th governor, Bob Taft. He served two terms from 1999 to 2007, issuing his own wealth of state of the state addresses. Bob Taft was elected as a Republican to the Ohio House of Representatives from 1976 to 1981, and then was Hamilton County Commissioner from 1981 to 1990. He ran for Lieutenant Governor of Ohio on the ticket with Jim Rhodes in 1986, but was unsuccessful that time. In 1990, he was elected as the Ohio Secretary of State and then reelected in 1994. He was elected Governor of Ohio in 1998 and reelected in 2002. Welcome to the show, Governor Taft.
And it's my pleasure to be with you.
So did you like giving state of the state addresses back in the day?
It was a very important opportunity to set the agenda for the state going forward, and I don't know if I loved every minute of it. It was intense, and the focus is on you. It's probably the best opportunity you have throughout the entire year to get the attention of all parts of the state.
How much time would you actually spend preparing for something like that?
Oh, I spent a lot of time, a lot of drafts, a lot of thought going into it. We'd even do practice sessions. I may not be the most charismatic speaker, but you want to make a good delivery.
And did you use a teleprompter?
I used a teleprompter, and then there was an aide waiting for the teleprompter to fail with the written text.
Just in case. When a lot of people don't listen, and particularly back then, even that most recently, there wasn't the same sort of people couldn't listen online, that sort of a thing, or at least it wasn't as easy or as common as it is today. You were mainly talking to statewide office holders, legislators, that kind of thing.
And the statewide media as well.
Yeah.
From each region of the state, and many of them would come to Columbus for the event.
Did it ever occur to you to leave Columbus for the event?
It didn't, but I'm kind of kicking myself that we didn't. I think it's a great idea to get the state of the state, out of the capital. I think, Columbus is a great place, and that's the seat of government. On the other hand, you've got a state of 11 million people with six regions, with different needs and different concerns. Often they don't feel connected to the state. So I think it's a really interesting idea to take the state of the state on the road.
Yeah, Lee?
I'd be interested to know, Governor, from your perspective, you listened to the state of the state from different perspectives, one when you were a House member and when you were a statewide official, and then, of course, you gave it later on. Can you describe how you felt at first when you were in the House looking up and listening to the governor?
And before you answer that, I want to know, were you in the State House when Governor Rhodes lashed out at the legislature that time?
I don't think I was there at that time. I can't remember exactly when that was. Mm-hmm. I was there 76 to 80. But, you know, when you first get there, that's a big deal. It's a big moment. You're impressionable, and you know, you've got the governor of the state setting forth the agenda for Ohio. You've got, you know, all three branches of government are there normally. So it is a very almost a theatrical moment from an inside standpoint. I realize, you know, most Ohioans aren't, you know, sitting on the edge of their seats waiting to listen to the state of the state. But it's a very important moment from the standpoint of the future of state government and state policies. And of course, that's something I'm very interested in.
Up until the time when you were actually delivering it, which is a very different experience, did it get sort of ho-hum after a while, after you were there for several years and then you were a statewide office holder? And
I don't think it ever got to be ho-hum. You know, it was always very important. You always wanted to, you know, put the best foot forward. You wanted to – it's an opportunity to sell your agenda, you know, whether it's, you know, the Ohio core, you know, more rigorous math or science or a third frontier. It's an opportunity to really you know, put forward and start to sell and build support for the initiatives that are important. Now, I'd say it's a bigger moment every 2 years when the state budget is prepared. This is the off year, so to speak, and it's also an election year. So you don't expect as large an agenda coming forward from the governor at this point in time. A year from now, you know, with the new budget in the offing, I expect there'll be, you know, a whole lot of new initiatives announced. So the off year is a little bit more of a challenge. And I recall one off year where, you know, we proposed some important things to improve Ohio's business climate, lawsuit reform, that sort of thing. But the press said, well, that wasn't a big speech. And in part because it is tough in that off year. You have a short legislative session. People want to go home and campaign. And it's just an election year is a tough time often to take on controversial topics. So there's kind of a cycle to the state of the state.
He's right. From the point of view of the media, we always wanted fresh meat. We wanted something new. And sometimes we got it and sometimes we didn't.
And from that standpoint, I think it's interesting and probably creative for Governor Kasich to move this year in kind of somewhat of an off year for a state of the state to you know, to make some news and to make an impression and to do something innovative by taking it to Steubenville, which is a part of the state that's had a lot of challenges during my administration and still today, but also pointing a way out of the challenge by going to a high-performing school. And education is certainly the key to getting out of our economic doldrums, but also the center for where you have the shale gas drilling going on.
Right.
And so I think it's a good way to highlight the path forward for the state, and also to create interest and to communicate to a part of the state that, hey, state government does care about you, and we are going to be doing what we can to be a good partner for Eastern Ohio going forward.
I know how sometimes things work, though. I mean, I figure from here on out, everyone's going to be pitching for him to come to their side of the state.
That's a dilemma.
This time was a surprise, and now next time it's a competition.
Exactly. And Ohio is a state of regions, as you all know very well. And each region, you know, wants their share of the attention. And so now I'm sure Toledo, you know, they'll be pushing for next year for him to come up to Toledo because they think, you know, the 3C, Cincinnati, Columbus, Cleveland get all the attention. And, and you know, Dayton, you know, we'd love to have him down here in Dayton. So at the University of Dayton, be great, you know, anywhere. But you're right. That's going to. That's the dilemma they have created for themselves. Are they going to now move it every year?
Whatever happened to the Other Ohio movement?
I
that was real
anything.
Hot for a long time, and against the three C's. Well,
those
you
were
don't
the
hear
days,
about
huh?
that anymore.
Yeah, I think the publisher of the Toledo Blade moved out of state.
Okay, that's a good answer.
He happens to be in Pennsylvania, just a few hop, skip, and a jump away from
Steubenville. Where Kasich is today.
Exactly. Most statewide office holders in the Ohio Supreme Court won't be attending the speech today. Would you have missed their presence?
Well, I think it's good to have them there, of course, especially when I was talking about what we were doing to build new school buildings
right.
in response to the school funding lawsuit. I wasn't lecturing the Supreme Court, but I was glad they were there when we were talking about that. But I think it's you know, it's great to have them there, but this is the governor's you know, program, and it's important to have legislators there, obviously, because the governor can do very little without their support. So the absence of statewide office holders who really don't report to the governor, for the most part, they're independently elected, and the absence of the Supreme Court, also independently elected, separate branch, their own agenda, their own business, that doesn't trouble me that they all wouldn't be there. I mean, obviously, if you had legislators not going in mass, that would be a problem.
There was some discord over that, though. Put people, you know, they're not able to get any work done. And you know, usually at least they're all there. And if nothing else, they can do fundraisers on State of the State Day.
Well, you know, I think it's a good thing for legislators from other parts of the state to go over to Steubenville or to some other part of the state, you know, understand what's going on and build a little more of a statewide perspective. The governor has that. Legislators can be sometimes, you know, they're focused on their own district, their own region, naturally. So I think it's a good thing to get them out of Columbus, get them, you know, away from their district and give them an appreciation for what's happening in other parts of the state. I mean, they may learn something from this school in Steubenville that could be very important for statewide school policy.
What about style? You know, I attended your first State of the State address as an editorial writer. Anecdotally, we've heard that some editorial writers might be sitting this one out because of the distance, but more so because, in some cases, because of the style of address that Governor Kasich employs, off the cuff, rambling, lengthy. He'd be the first to describe it that way. What do you make of that?
Well, that's just Governor Kasich's style. I always wanted to be focused on my message. You know, we had one or two priorities, whether it was the Third Frontier Project or Clean Ohio or a more rigorous curriculum for math and science, whatever it might be. I really wanted to stay focused and disciplined on that message and to make the points I wanted to make. Because then you have to, after the state, that's the beginning of selling a program. After the State of the State, we'd go around the state then, you know, to every region generally. Talking about the agenda going forward, you know, the governor's got to sell his program to the people and to the legislature. So, the State of the State is just the opening salvo. I mean, I think, you know, it would be if I'd been a better speaker, I would have done what Governor Kasich is doing in terms of more, you know, off the cuff, you know, style. But I'm sure that his message, he may, don't confuse the content with the style. In other words, the content may be very focused, very well thought out. It's just the style of delivery we're talking about here. That may be more effective for communicating with legislators.
Well, you have to listen more closely.
Exactly. There could be some surprises.
He says there'll be surprises. Do you remember ever pulling any surprises out of the hat?
Well, we didn't announce everything. I mean, a lot of the content might have, the specifics of the content would be surprising sometimes. You know, I remember when we, you know, talked about, you know, tax reform. That was, I think, a surprise to a lot of legislators. Exactly what we proposed, and which I'm pleased to see that, you know, Governor Kasich has now fully implemented the tax reform program that we started several years ago, which I think helps Ohio be more competitive.
Any particularly memorable State of the States for you, Governor Taft?
I don't think so. I mean, the first one was, you know, obviously the most tense, you know, but also in a sense, you know, you're elected with strong support, and I was fortunate in that I had Republican control in the House and the Senate, so I had a lot of support for what I was proposing, and it was an opportunity to kind of deliver on some of the policy proposals we put forward during the campaign.
What about you, Lee? Any memorable State of the State addresses?
Well, the one that where Rhodes departed from his prepared text and told those legislators, "You've done nothing," and that was a direct quote to follow up on his jobs initiatives. And then that was when Vern Reif and Oliver Ocasek the next year said,
"Senate President, we're not
inviting you back into the." into the chamber. Remember that, Governor?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. You know, and then
I had been in the legislature, and I knew that most of what I was proposing required legislative action. and so, you know, if anything, I was courting them.
But the governor may be right about that, the idea that it's good to visit another area, but couldn't you get the same effect by giving the speech in the Capitol and then going to various areas and sort of amplifying on it or speaking directly to that region with another one later on afterwards?
Well, there's a lot to be said for that. As you know, all politics is local. All news is kind of local and regional in Ohio, certainly. And so it's important. I mean, I would hope that the governor, Governor Kasich, would move around the state with his message, after going to Steubenville, because you really have to, and the governor needs to be out and around Ohio, because it is such a diverse, sprawling state with different issues, different problems. You know, some parts of the state have greater economic problems than others and different kinds of economies. I thought it was effective what we did. We delivered the State of the State to the legislature in Columbus and then moved around the state. But that's not to say that the State of the State shouldn't be moved from time to time. I mean, I think it's a good thing that the Ohio Supreme Court moves the court around sometime from region to region, and they'll hold hearings in different parts of the state. So, you know, unfortunately, there's not a lot of focus and attention on state government when you get out into the grassroots mm-hmm. of Ohio. And so bringing that State of the State does elevate, I think, the visibility of state government.
Governor Taft, thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, my pleasure. It's good to be with you guys. And we all look forward to hearing what Governor Kasich has to say.
Bob Taft, he's Ohio's 67th governor, served two terms from 1999 to 2007. Lee Leonard, thanks for joining us.
Good to be here, Ann.
Lee Leonard, retired veteran State House reporter and Columbus Dispatch columnist. Thanks for listening. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.